This morning, and I usually say for a few minutes I want to talk about something. I don't know if this is going to be a one-part or a two-part this morning, but I want to talk to you about the backsliding. And backsliding is something I have not heard a sermon on that for a long, long time. I think people just kind of forget about it. It goes out of their mind. But it is a big issue and a serious issue. When I looked up the word backsliding in the King James Version with the reference that I used, I found that 13 times in the Bible, 9 times it's in the book of Jeremiah. It's not once mentioned in the New Testament, but the idea is taught over and over again. Backslide means to slide back or relax morally. The New Testament teaches that we are to take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Hebrews 13:12. Backsliding. Would you backslide? Would you? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall or have a relapse. Brethren and friends, this has been a problem in every generation, and it is a problem that confronts God's people today. People come into the church and then they go back into the world. As Bradley read in Proverbs 14:14, the wise man says to us, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. What this passage is telling us is that backsliding begins in the heart. Then it progresses to overt acts, and eventually an individual will end up leaving the Lord completely. He quits reading his Bible. He quits praying. He quits working in the vineyard. He quits coming during the times that we assemble together. And he has no interest whatsoever in spiritual things. But according to Proverbs 14:14, it begins in the heart. Now, we need to examine ourselves, not the person sitting beside you. We need to examine ourselves to see if it is beginning in us. Well, one of the things that we need to consider, if we have no religious enjoyment, then we are backsliding. If we have no religious enjoyment, we are backsliding and we are heading down the wrong road to destruction. If we came here this morning and it was a burden to us, if we don't get any satisfaction out of worshiping God, then there's something wrong with our heart. Worship like this as children of God should be a joy to every one of us. And remember what the psalmist David said in Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Worship comes from our heart. It's a joyful thing. As we talked about in class this morning, everything that Peter told us that God has done for us, how he's redeemed us, not with corruptible silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, how he has that inheritance, an incorruptible inheritance waiting for us. We have so many things to praise God for and to be joyful about. Coming together as God's people should be an occasion that we look forward to. We come together to have fellowship with each other, to draw strength from each other, to love one another, to have communion with God, to sing, to blend our voices together, to sing songs of praise unto his name, to lift up our hearts in prayer unto God. But if we have lost that joy, if it's a drudgery, if it's boredom, if we can't wait till it's over and we get out, then we have already started backsliding in our heart. Another thing, if the service we give to God is done grudgingly, then we are starting to backslide. Turn in 2 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. And there's a principle here that is taught concerning giving, but this principle applies to everything that we do for God. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. For God loveth a cheerful giver. God doesn't want me to give out of obligation. He wants me to give liberally and generously. Sometimes we call it a free will offering. Sometimes we might even call it a love offering. But he wants us to do it cheerfully, not grudgingly or of necessity. And see, again, that involves our heart. And this principle is something that applies to everything else that God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be robots. If we didn't, he created us with a mind. We're to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He didn't create us as robots to walk in lockstep and worship him that way. He wants us to worship him from our heart. And if we don't do it willingly and cheerfully, if we do it grudgingly out of a sense of obligation and not out of a sense of love, then that love is gone from our heart. Now, what about our responsibilities and obligations? Do we say, oh, I got to go to church? You don't have to. And if you have that attitude that you got to go, it's not going to do you any good, because God isn't going to accept your worship. He wants your heart in it. He wants our heart in everything. God is not going to accept my worship if I come to him out of a sense of duty. He wants us to worship him willingly and cheerfully. Are there any examples of that in the New Testament where people didn't have that love? Sure. Ephesus. Ephesus was doing the right thing. They weren't teaching anything doctrinally wrong, but what did the Lord condemn them for? They left their first love. They left their first love. They were busy. They were doing things. They were sound in doctrine. And by all appearances, it looked like a good church. But Christ told them to repent and turn back to their first love. Another thing I can use to determine if I'm backsliding in my heart is if my worship is formal and ritualistic. In John chapter 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance. You can go to some places, and it's just all emotionalism. No spirit whatsoever. They call that the spirit, but the spirit that it's referring to, I'm sorry. They worship all emotionally. They have the spirit, but not according to the truth. Not according to the truth. They get worked up, but it's not according to the Word of God. And to have that balance, you can have the Word of God. And I don't like the cliche, but you can have the Word of God but be dead as a doornail because you don't have any spirit. You don't have any emotion in it. And then worship just becomes formal and ritualistic. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus said concerning the Pharisees, "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We don't want to be like the Pharisees. We want to have our heart in a worship. And when we sing these songs, our heart must be in it. When we pray, our hearts must be in it. When we observe the Lord's Supper, our hearts must be in that, reflecting on what he has done for us. Our hearts should be touched by what our Creator has done for us, and then we offer up our adoration to Him. If not, if we just go through the motions, and it's ritualistic and formalistic, then we're backsliding. Well, somebody again will say, I gotta go to church. I gotta sing. I gotta throw a few dollars in. And friend, if your heart isn't in it, God is not going to accept that. And we need to just be honest with ourselves now and realize that today, because we don't want to wait till the day of judgment and see that our heart is not in it. Another indicator or symptom of backsliding is low interest in the Word of God. Do you enjoy reading the Bible? Do you enjoy studying the Bible? The psalmist said in Psalm 1, 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." So our delight should be found in the Word of God. If we delight in the Word of God, we are going to spend time in the Word of God. We are going to want to do that day and night, thinking about that. And again, that's a repetitive motion over and over and over again. We should enjoy God's Word and studying it, not just reading it. And I hope you're enjoying the Bible studies that we are going through, because God has designed His Word so that when we study it, we will grow. We will grow and become stronger so that we are better able to defeat Satan and to draw closer to Him. But where does it all start? It all starts in our heart. Backsliding starts in the heart. Following God starts in the heart. And if we are starting to backslide in our heart, friend, if you don't get that out of your heart, it's going to manifest itself in other areas of your life. And then eventually somebody will go back into the world like Demas did in 2 Timothy 4:10. Sometimes we'll see people in the church and then we don't see them and we'll wonder what happened to them. Was it just one day the switch got flipped and they went back into the world? No, it all started in their heart. And that's why it's so important that we guard our heart. Well, what are some of the causes of backsliding? Why do people quit? Why do people go back into the world? This is a serious problem, and it plagues every congregation there is, because Satan is trying to draw them back into the world. One of the causes that people go back into the world is because of unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, one of the big problems discussed there was unbelief. So unbelief goes all the way back to the children turning their back on God in the wilderness. And if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, and beginning at verse 15, "While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but for them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief." They could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Hebrews 4:11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Well, people will say, "Well, I believe in God." Do you really? Do you trust in God, or do you lack trust in God? Are you standing on his promises? Too many times we want to stand on the promises of God and we don't commit ourselves to keeping the word of God. Why do we disobey? It's part of it has to do with disobedience, just like with the Israelites. They no longer had faith and trust and confidence in God. We don't deny his existence. We say, yeah, God exists, but we don't just really put our faith and confidence in him 100%. Somebody will say, well, I believe in God. Well, what kind of God do you believe in? Just stop and think about that. Do you believe in the God that sits on his throne and rules everything, all creation? That you believe in the God that thinks about each one of us individually and watches over us and takes care of us? Do you believe in the God that hears our prayers so we pray to him with our heart so that he will hear us? Do you believe in the God that provides the necessities of life? Do you believe in that kind of God? That's the kind of God that the Bible talks about. But a lot of people, you ask them, well, what do you believe God to be? They couldn't tell you. They couldn't tell you. Somebody will say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Word of God with all your heart? Do you believe in the promises that are found in the New Testament? Do you believe what the Bible says about worry and anxiety? Do you believe what the Bible says about the use of your money? About being triumphant and overcoming the world? You see, a lot of people, they will glance over those things in the Bible, but they really don't believe in them. So one of the major causes of backsliding today is the same as it was all the way back in the wilderness. It's unbelief. Unbelief. Another cause of backsliding is shallowness. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. Luke 8 and verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Here Jesus has this parable of the sower, and he explains it. He says, some fall away. Some people will obey the gospel, maybe out of emotionalism, but not out of commitment. Again, they might be in one of those services where it's strictly emotion. They get caught up that and they obey, but they haven't made a commitment to God. Maybe some obey the gospel because they're pressured into it. Maybe their parents say, come on, it's time for you to get baptized. Come on, you need to do that. They may be pressured into it. And again, it's not in their heart and they go back into the world. Maybe some obey the gospel because they look at the blessings, but not the commitment. And that would be attractive to a lot of people. You think about all the blessings that God is going to give us, but then he also expects a lot from us for those blessings. He expects commitment from us. He expects us to work for him. But sometimes people may obey the gospel because of the blessings. They don't consider the responsibilities and obligations. And then they can't handle them and they fall away. Somebody else obeys the gospel because somebody they know obeys the gospel. And they think, well, I think I'll try that too. And you see, that's just shallowness. Shallowness. And when somebody is baptized, we need to make sure that we ground them and root them in the Word and stabilize them so that they will not be shallow, so that they will have deep roots. Sometimes people are members of the church out of tradition. Their mommies and daddies were members of the church. That's good if your mother and father was a member of the church. But if that's the reason you're a member of the church, then that's no different than denominationalism. You need to be a Christian because you feel the pain that your sins caused to the Son of God. My sins caused him to leave heaven, to come down and be crucified on a cross, to shed his blood so that I could come in contact with that blood for the forgiveness of my sins. And if we don't believe that, when Satan comes along and whispers in our ear, what are we going to do? We're going to run back into the world. You need to be a Christian because you were cut to your heart and you wanted to obey the truth. Another thing that makes people fall away from what the Lord stated in the 14th verse of Luke chapter 8 is the word is choked out. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring forth no fruit to maturity or perfection. Is it hard to be a Christian? Yeah, it's hard because there's going to be pressure exerted on us. It's not easy. And there are things that get in the way. And one of them that he mentions here is riches. Trying to make money. Trying to make a living. Compromising some of our values to make money. Now, each of us, that's a family decision. How much you need to make for your family, how much I need to make for mine. So we don't tell each other, you're making too much, you aren't making enough. It's an individual decision, but we can't throw common sense out the window. You know, some people will take a job somewhere else. They might be offered to make more money than they could ever imagine making, but there's not a Lord's church in that area. And then what do? Well, they start and rationalize. Well, you know, we could go there. We could go there and we could start a church there. That's what we could do. We could start a church there. Is that where their heart is? They've got to be honest with themselves. Some people will just sell themselves out. They aren't, if they wanted to start a church, they could go to any small town USA or some other country where there aren't preachers and start a church there. But what they want to do is to enrich themselves by taking a job, making an exorbitant amount of money, and then casting away their obligations and commitment to the Lord. I'll risk my family. You think about Lot. You know, when he looked at the plain toward Sodom and saw it was well watered and rich and would be a good place to live, didn't do him too well for his family to make that decision. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We want Jesus to save us, but we don't want to follow what he tells us to for our own purpose. So sometimes people will take things in this world, they'll start losing interest in God, they'll lose their spiritual appetite, and they start losing their love for the Lord in their heart, and pretty soon they fall away altogether. Jesus talks about the pleasures of this life, and we get caught up in pleasure. There are things that God has given us that are pleasurable and right in and of themselves, and we just need to make sure that some of those things we do in moderation and we don't do them to the excess where, again, we fall away and backslide and lose our love for the Lord. So in verse 14, the cares, the riches, and pleasures choke out the word so it can't bring forth fruit. People get caught up in all kinds of things in their life and have all kinds of problems because they get caught up in them. Have you ever seen anybody have all kinds of problems in their life because they got caught up in the work of the Lord? People that get caught up in the work of the Lord usually have less problems because they're seeking the kingdom first, God's going to take care of them, and their heart is in the right place. Something else that leads to backsliding is evil associations. And we looked at this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:33, in class Wednesday evening. The context of that dealt with the resurrection, false teaching about the resurrection, and associating with false teachers. Again, this is a principle that will influence everything that we associate ourselves with in this life. When I started a little bit ago, I said, I usually say this, I want to talk to you for a few minutes. I've got a lot more that I would like to say on this topic of backsliding, and I want us to stop here this morning, and we'll pick up with evil associations this evening, because there are a lot of things that are involved in backsliding, and it's a problem everywhere, and it starts in our heart. And Satan is going to get busy. There's three things that Satan is going to try to do to us. He's going to try to keep us out of the church. He just wants to keep us in the world. He's going to try to keep us out of the church. If we get into the church, he's going to try to make us a weak Christian. He's going to make us unfruitful. And he's also going to try to get us to go back into the world. Those are three things he's going to try on every person. And we'll start this evening looking at evil associations and how Satan works on us at that to get us back into the world. Backsliding is a dangerous area to be in. Again, it was alluded to in Bible class this morning. If someone has become a Christian and they go back into the world, the later end is worse than the first, and it's like a dog that returns to its vomit, or a sow to wallowing in the mire. And you think about that sow wallowing in the mire, that's not clean mud out there. That's garbage that they're wallowing in. That's their waste that they are wallowing in. And that is the description of one that is backslider. Maybe somebody is here and you've started backsliding in your heart. You know, somebody can be a backslider and they can still be sitting here. Eventually they wouldn't be here, but it all starts in the heart. If you have something in your life that you need to make correction, make that right with God. If it's something you need to make right of a public nature, we ask you to let that be made known so that we can pray for you. If you've never become a child of God, again, you can't enjoy any of those blessings that we have come here to enjoy this morning. And you need to be a child before it is too late so that you can receive that inheritance. There's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.